Friday, October 26th, and you're listening to Ryersonian This Week. I'm Nicole Edwards.
And I'm Tiffany Lam. Hi, everyone. So it's Social Justice Week here on campus.
Yes, it is.
Social Justice Week is dedicated to educating folks at Ryerson and the community at large about different issues that affect our school, neighborhood, city, and often our country.
Yeah, there were panels and lunch and learns and speakers on topics like minimum wage and police in Toronto.
So Nicole and I both decided to dive into that theme and bring you some stories this week to get us thinking about different social justice issues important to us. You'll hear from Nicole later about a talk on the opioid overdose crisis. This talk shed some interesting light on how effective the Ford government's plans are for solving the problem.
And Tiffany, you took a look at food insecurity on campus this week, right?
Yes, I did.
The Good Food Center launched a breakfast program in the Student Learning Center that will run twice a month, and you dug into how students handle getting enough to eat while balancing school fees, rent, and all those tough things that are important but tricky on a student budget.
Yeah, and that's up next, so stay with us. This week, I noticed a flyer about a free breakfast program on campus from Ryerson's Good Food Center. Their words, not mine. The flyer said, missing meals is a reality for too many students. To combat this, the Good Food Center has launched a new breakfast initiative. I decided to go check it out.
So what this is just like a breakfast program that runs for anybody on campus, and we're just trying to spread awareness about the Good Food Center and letting students know that we exist. And so right now we're doing some pancakes, some coffee, tea, and just like fruits and vegetables, and just, yeah.
That was one of the coordinators of this event.
So my name is Herner Gosel. I'm one of the four coordinators at the Good Food Center.
And for the record, it wasn't just like they were serving pancakes. There were normal buttermilk pancakes and vegan banana pancakes.
So the Good Food Center is one of the equity services provided by the RSU, and we just help students on campus that are struggling with food insecurity, and we make sure that students don't have to have that choice between getting an education or having to eat. So like a lot of students, unfortunately, do have to come to school and study on an empty stomach. So we're just trying to eliminate those struggles that students go through.
The breakfast program is setting up at the Student Learning Center twice a month until March. This past Wednesday was the second breakfast they served as a way to challenge food insecurity.
Food insecurity would just be anybody, like it's just when you don't have access to food that meets your nutritious values or food that meets your dietary restrictions. So it's like even if you have access to food, even if it's junk food, that you would still kind of be food insecure because it's not giving you the proteins and the nutritions that you need.
A growing body of research suggests that Canadian students are particularly at risk of experiencing food insecurity. Students report that tuition fees and the cost of living are the biggest barriers to healthy food. According to the Canadian Federation of Students, 38% of students report experiencing moderate or severe insecurity. Food insecurity impacts nearly 4 million Canadians each year.
If I have good food, I'm going to do better. I'm going to have a better performance during the day.
That's Gulshid Riahi. She's a fourth year engineering student. She has used the Good Food Center for 2 years.
Well, it helps me to do like kind of like my part for my like house, because like I live with my family, with my mom. Two of us, we both are students. So we're kind of low on the budget. So I'm trying to help on my side because I cannot work too many hours. So I'm kind of covering my part.
For her, breakfast is incredibly important.
This is how I start my day. I need to have a good like breakfast.
Despite the importance of food, Ontario has actually not measured food insecurity in the province since 2012.
It's very stupid because basically the province can decide whether or not they're going to collect the data so they can opt in or opt out. And Ontario has been opting out of measuring food insecurity. So the last numbers that we have are from 6 years ago.
That's Ekta Amarnani.
I was a food security researcher at McGill. Once I graduated, I started working in community food security in Toronto, and that's where I currently work.
Ekta says without these numbers, it's hard to measure where Toronto stands in food insecurity, or Ontario for that matter.
It's silly, and I think like the fact that they choose not to measure it might be a sign that it's not getting better, and so they just don't want to report on it. I mean, that's a speculation, but it could be.
Until then, efforts by grassroots initiatives like Ryerson's Good Food Center Breakfast Program will be all the city has to actively address food insecurity.
That story was produced by our very own Tiffany Lamb. A few episodes back, we did a story on the opioid overdose crisis. And you know, all of us here at Ryerson are right in the middle of it. Maps of overdose hotspots show that our neighbors over in Moss Park really needed help back when the first overdose prevention sites went up. Those sites didn't have the blessing of the city or the province at first. And last we spoke about this, we weren't sure if the sites would keep getting funding from the province, even though nurses and volunteers and people who use drugs all insist that they're saving lives. Okay, so the update is that this week, Health Minister Christine Elliott announced that the sites will keep being funded, but only if they meet the standards of this new plan that the Conservatives have put together. So the next voice you'll hear is Mary Lou Gagnon. She's what I'd call a decorated frontline worker. She told me about the parts of the Conservative plan that worry her.
Yeah, my name is Mary Lou Gagnon. I'm an associate professor in nursing at U of Vic, previously at University of Ottawa. And I'm also the president of the Harm Reduction Nurses Association. And I was part of the co-organizing group of Overdose Prevention Ottawa. And we ran an unsanctioned overdose prevention site for 80 days last year. And then they announced, which is like pretty significant, that the focus would be changed and they would no longer be seen as overdose prevention sites, but more enhanced and rehabilitation sites, so with a treatment focus.
I am pleased to announce that our government is moving forward with a completely repurposed program for consumption services in Ontario, with a model that is focused uncompromisingly on connecting people to treatment and providing more and better support to those struggling with addiction.
Which is not really in line with harm reduction philosophy, because harm reduction philosophy, you know, is not against treatment, but it's against interacting with people who use drugs through the lens of treatment. So basically, harm reduction is mostly meeting the person where they're at. And if that means they're ready for treatment, then it's fantastic and we can support them through that process. But if they're not ready, that also means offering something else and supporting them in that decision.
My name is Frank. I myself am a person who uses drugs. It's not something I'm proud of. I'm not ashamed of it either. And what kind of drugs do I use? I don't know, anything. From heroin, opiates, cocaine, crystal meth, if I feel like it.
And so focusing on treatment is not necessarily the right way to go. And it's quite, I would say, going to create a lot of barriers for people who are not necessarily ready for treatment to change the focus of these sites.
Frank Coburn spoke on campus this week on a panel called Do Something that talked about harm reduction in the community here on campus and beyond. He wore a sweatshirt and had his hands stuffed in the pouch on the front of it. He's confident and funny. You could feel the room zero in on him when he started to talk.
The big challenges that people like myself have faced throughout the years and I will continue to face is the amount of stigma attached to drug use. People call it all kinds of strange, crazy names. Crackhead. A junkie. You're a crack hoe. I've never seen a crack hoe in my life. So I tell people if they see a crack hoe, take a picture and bring it for me because I haven't seen one in all my travels.
But just as importantly, it would offer clients a greater chance at recovery by connecting people who use drugs with primary care, treatment and rehabilitation, and other health and social services.
This is ideologically driven, and you know what? They're conservatives. They do what conservatives do. So they managed to reframe this to meet their agenda.
At 277 Victoria Street, I worked there from the onset last year, August, I think it was. And we just stood outside and handed out our supplies, and two or three people started coming in, and we wondered what's going to happen. Oh my God, we're going to give a party and nobody's going to show up. they now accommodate 130 people every day. And I think that's phenomenal. I don't think you quite realize how significant that is. Had it not been for the works and for the other OPSs around, I don't think you quite realize the full import of, had they not been there, what would have happened, kind of thing. And in fact, as a matter of fact, there have been a few overdoses, but we have not lost anybody yet.
These services will be provided at standalone, permanent structures. Pop-up sites and tents will not be permitted, and this prohibition will be strictly enforced.
Yeah, it's been basically the front line has been those tents, and we can need to continue to operate them if they're needed. It's also the first time that a provincial government explicitly states that if a pop-up overdose prevention site like the one that was operating at Moss Park and the one that was operating in Ottawa would be actually shut down.
I don't inject heroin with my arm because my sense of values is lower than yours. I don't take cocaine because I have a lower sense of morality than yours. And that's a lot of mistake that some people make. I'm not a basher of the police by any chance. I think without the police, we'd be in a lot of trouble. But one of the things that I have found in my travels is that most people who police the 51 division down here, for example, live in Brampton, Newmarket, Mississauga, blah, blah, white picket fence, golden retriever. That's all right, nothing wrong with that. I like dogs myself. But just remember that when you come to work at Sherman and Dundas and Sherman and Queen, the people that you police do not care one bit if the curtains don't match the furniture. Right? Your values are worse than yours, my friend. They're just different. Just different. Just remember that. It's different.
I mean, police so far have been pretty much witnessing these efforts to save lives and not intervening. And I think, honestly, police officers in this country know how bad this crisis is because they're constantly called to, you know, intervene as well. And I think if they would have a choice, I think they would prefer for these sites to operate and for them to not have to intervene in overdoses time and time again every day.
So I'd like to point out to people that this is Toronto, Canada. This is the year 2018. This is not 1818. Let's not be afraid to show people around the world at large that we are a humane society. As a matter of fact, we thank the bus drivers when we get off the bus. Anybody else do that? I've been to New York City and getting off the bus. The bus driver is glad to see you get off the damn bus. So we are a good society. We are a humane society. Let us not be afraid of all that. Anybody know Charles Barkley? Charles Barkley was a basketball player. People call him arrogant. He's retired now. You tell me if he's arrogant. He wrote an autobiography, of course, and he named it, "I May Be Wrong, But I Doubt It." That's how I feel. And that's how we've always felt to the harm reduction movement, so to speak. We may be wrong, but I doubt we're wrong. We knew instinctively that we were doing the right thing, and that is why this will always be a success, by any standard that you need to judge it by.
Everything just like the boxer dead on the ring. The cross is twisted, the stars that will shine.
That's it from us this week, Ryerson. We wish you a wonderful weekend and a spooky Halloween.
Are you dressing up for any parties this weekend?
No, I'm the worst with stuff like that. Always so last minute. Are you?
I am the exact same.
are thinking about making t-shirts made. You know that meme where that like guys like, is this a Halloween costume?
Yes, actually I have. So,
or like, is this a thing? And so I'm thinking of making a t-shirt.
I like that. I like that a lot. Well, maybe you guys can inspire me. Show us your costumes by tweeting at Ryersonian or finding us on Instagram. You can slide into my DMs at @nick_416.
Yeah, and you can slide into my DMs too if you want. I'm at TLSY on Instagram. See you next week.